This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Hello, Hope Land. At the podcast this week, there was actually a...
Bake-off.
Well, sort of.
A cooking championship.
Things were eaten, hearts were broken, and chocolate was consumed.
Oh, it's an emotional roller coaster this week on the podcast.
You spoke lies, Mr. Robinson.
Oh, there was no lies.
Be ready to hear this. Okay,
there is a quiet confidence. Ready? Alpha, beta.
Not even the English alphabet.
So
ready, here we go.
Three, two, one.
Breakfast is ready.
Morning, Laura Bennett.
Morning, Duncan Robinson. Hello, Sydney.
I am sure that yesterday you were pretty pumped being a movie watcher and all that.
I heard someone yesterday say the Oscars are my Super Bowl, and I said hashtag amen.
Amen.
What a mix-up there was. So this is the end of the show,
wow.
The Best Picture Award that everyone is waiting with bated breath to hear the winner of.
Are we calling this a Steve Harvey now?
I think pretty much, or okay. Envelope Gate, one of the two. So Warren Beatty was up on stage and he was the man who held the envelope that made La La Land the winner, and then wait, oh no, it was actually Moonlight.
There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
This is very unfortunate what happened. Personally, I blame Steve Harvey for this. I would like to see you get an Oscar anyway. Why can't we just give out a whole bunch of them?
I'm going to be really proud to hand this to my friends from Moonlight.
Oh, the directors, producers of La La Land handling that so gracefully. And, of course, Moonlight handling it really gracefully, because that should have been their moment. And then it's become this historical kind of fiasco, really.
Oh, that is so painful to listen to.
When have you been given something that wasn't meant for you?
Has this happened to you before, has it, Laura?
When I was in year 11, I was actually receiving an award for hospitality, so you like food tech, but the TAFE certificate version.
I still make a better chocolate chip cookie than you, but that's
okay. I disagree. Well, you need to prove that wrong. Bring me a cookie and I will tell you.
Okay.
But I was receiving this award, jumped up on stage after our principal. He blended my sister and I together, so he's like, this award
into like one super Bennett.
Superhuman. I suddenly sounded like a very accomplished 17-year-old who'd helped like written curriculum and like collected all this and made all these great dishes and la la la. And I'm like, half of this is not me. But there was I just like went with the moment. I'm like, your principal's saying it. You kind of got to trust him.
So you claimed all of Natalie's success as your own as well.
I didn't mean to claim it.
Wow.
I just stepped up, took my award, was like, thank you. And I have heard the tale a couple of times because I realized I became like superhuman Bennett.
Did you thank Natalie at all, or did you just say, hey, thank you, appreciate the award. Yes, I do work hard for this school, and then sit down?
I don't actually remember, but I thank my sister now. I mean, she's made me what I am today, and as the older of the two of us, she gets full credit for any genius that I inherited.
Have you ever been in the situation where you're at a shopping center or an airport and you're like, my kid needs to use the restroom. You go in and you think to yourself, I'll use the restroom in the parents' room while you're there.
Yeah.
You set up, the kid goes, and then you go. And then what happens afterwards is that while you're sitting on the toilet, and this happened to me at the airport just 2 days ago, my son's like, well, I'm done, so I'm going to get out of here, and just opens the door to the parents' room while I'm still sitting on the restroom. And I had to scream at him while the door is like half cracked open.
Yeah.
Son, get back in here immediately. And I'm just wondering, has this ever happened to any other parent where you've kind of gone in to use the room tandemly with your kid and they've just like, okay, I'm done, so I'm out of here.
Where have your kids wandered off when you've been using the restroom? 1-300-40-2020. Got to say, I just thought that everyone was all locked in there together when you had the kiddies and there wasn't chance of escape.
Well, so here's the thing, is that most ones that you're locked in there together, and they do make the decision to put either the button that you press a little bit higher, but this particular one at the Sydney airport was low and my kid could just flip it open and walk straight out.
1-300-40-2020 on the text line 0-448-40-2020. Poor Mark, I really feel for you. So he took his two children to the bathroom, had to use the disabled for safety. The kids did their thing. He sat down to do his thing. Unknown to him, one of the kids pressed the distress button. So he's just sitting there when suddenly the doors open and there's three security guards.
I had to fend that off just on Monday. Max went to push it straight away and it was like, no, don't.
It is not the audience you need. Oh my goodness. Hello, Beverly. Where has your child wandered off?
Well, I was trying on a pair of jeans in JJ Jeans, it was, and I foolishly undid the straps on the pram. He climbed out, did a runner for the front door, which opened onto a bus stop and then a main road. So I had to leave my dignity in the change room. I ran through the store wearing a T-shirt and a pair of undies out to the bus stop, grabbed my toddler, went back into the store as quickly as possible, threw him back into the pram, none too gently, tied him into the pram so he couldn't get out again, got dressed, walked out of the store, passed the bus stop, not making eye contact with anybody.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone back to that store since?
Never.
No, I can imagine that you probably don't want to, like, forget the jeans, don't even care if they fit the best, don't want them. We do have for you, Hope, planned a special VIP event. It's an exclusive invite-only acoustic show with the Afters and also Stars Go Dim. They're going to be joining us in Australia for one night only. Duncan and I caught up with Stars Go Dim lead singer Chris Cleveland to hear what you can expect at the show and also how they feel coming to Australia for their first time.
You guys, I can't tell you how excited I am to come down under. That's what you call it, right?
Yeah.
Just an American term.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. I don't know. I've got to get a book or something to tell me all the cool lingo.
Mm.
Otherwise, I'm going to make myself just look really dumb.
Has anyone explained what drop bears are?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So there's two types there's two types of bears in Australia. There's obviously a koala bear, which isn't technically a bear.
Okay. It's just called a koala.
Really friendly, totally patable. But what looks like a koala bear, which isn't actually, a much more aggressive form of bear is called the drop bear. The problem is they're indistinguishable, but they're highly volatile.
Yeah, they may fall from trees at any moment.
Yeah.
So you just got to keep, when you wear a hat, as most musicians do, just make sure it's really hard and brimmed, more like a helmet.
Okay, perfect. Now that I know, so not only do I have to look out for, like, the world's deadliest snakes and spiders, but we also have to look out for falling bears from the sky. I mean, that looked cuddly.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to Australia.
Yeah.
You guys, it sounds like heaven on earth.
Contentious conundrums, bothering botherations. The People's Court.
Yeah, the People's Court is in session this morning because, Duncan, you made a pretty strong claim yesterday.
Well, I don't think that nuts belong in cookies of any description, especially when it comes to what I classify as one of the greatest cookies to make, and I make probably the best in Sydney, chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, see, alternative fact right there, ladies and gents.
I cannot believe
you have skills, but I cannot believe that creating the best chocolate chip cookie is one of them.
Oh, I think undoubtedly that I make the best chocolate chip cookies in Sydney, but that's beside the point to the fact that you should never, ever, ever, ever put any form of a nut in a chocolate chip cookie.
You know, you're going to have to prove yourself and actually bring one in.
I have no... Listen,
for me
a
to
cookie
try.
Competition is the
but
funnest competition in the world.
I think, though, that nuts add a certain texture. Because chocolate chip cookies all the way. You need, like, the melted dark chocolate with a little bit of milk in there as well. And then you get your little mini, whether it's peanut or pecan. Oh, it just adds texture and deliciousness.
It's like throwing a handful of gravel in your mix and then saying, oh, this is actually delicious. It's not. It's terrible.
I'm sorry, but your opinion is incorrect. 1-300-40-2020. Nuts, no nuts in your cookies. And look, I will push this out to brownies because I think brownies also, you mix it up a little bit.
No nuts in a brownie. That's terrible.
On the text line this morning, though, it seems that you're agreed with. One person's wrote in saying they agree with Duncan. No nuts in cookies, brownies, or ice cream. They ruin the chewy, smooth texture and get stuck in your teeth.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that.
Good morning, Sarah. What do you reckon? Nuts or no nuts?
No way.
Yeah.
No nuts.
Bad.
But don't you want a little bit of, like, chocolate kind of and then peanuts in there to get the mixed flavour and texture?
Why do I want to be tasting peanuts if I'm going for a chocolate cookie?
Well, that's exactly right. It's called a chocolate chip cookie. It doesn't call it chocolate chip peanut cookie.
I feel so slighted. 1-300-40-2020. Good morning, Adam. Do you like nuts in your cookies or no nuts?
No, no, no nuts. No.
Oh.
That's a good chant, Adam. Can I have that one more time?
No, no, no nuts. No.
Oh, Adam's even got a song for it. This isn't okay. 1-300-40-2020. Surely there is one amongst us who is pro nut because Glenn also... no, sorry. Alexandra also says, not a fan of nuts in cookies, just choc chips, please, but she wants to taste them so-called best cookies. Yes, she wants to taste your best cookies, so you need to somehow get some to Alexandra.
I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I will happily bake my cookies and put them up against any other cookie in Sydney, because I believe them to be the best.
I think we have to finish with Miriam, because I'm not winning right here. So do you like nuts in cookies or no?
Definitely nuts.
Definitely. Was that definitely nuts?
Yes, nuts.
Yay! What? Oh my goodness. Thank you for coming on board with the voice of reason this morning.
Well, I must say, if it was a chocolate chip cookie specifically, maybe not.
Okay.
Hmm. But definitely nuts in lots of other cookies and brownies especially.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Marilyn. That is where we need to finish and close the People's Court session over, because we have won. And when
haven't won. It was no nuts by a landslide.
It's where we finish, not where you begin.
We're joined today by Callum Sinclair. He's the ruckman for the Sydney Swans. Thanks for joining us, Callum.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hopeland, our listeners, they know this. I'm not hugely aware of everything to do with sport, but I had to actually Google you to just double check your background. And I saw that you were born back in 89. Okay, that works out about being 27. Then I went to your Swans page and saw that it said 18 at the top, and had a sudden epiphany where I realised that the number that appears on the sports page is not your age, it's your jersey number, which I have gotten that mixed up with other players on so many occasions. So I just feel like I need to share that this morning.
So what did you think when a player was wearing number one or two? Did you think...
You can't take the logic to the full extent, because it's just not
going to... really talented toddler running around on the field.
Yeah, like they're oversized.
Thoughts.
This time of the week, we tend to have something on our mind that we just need to really flesh out, think through. Okay. What have you got, Duncan?
When someone says you're one in a million, they're actually saying there's 7,000 other people just like you.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
My thoughtful thought, given that I have completed my 1,000-piece puzzle this week, I want to know, what is a professional puzzler called? Is there such a thing? If I professionally complete them and do it in record timing?
Is that the Riddler?
Do I get a title?
The Puzzler.
No, that's why it's a thoughtful thought. I don't know.
What weird way do you eat food? Now, the reason this is coming up is because I had a friend who sat down to eat pizza and he pulled out his knife and fork.
I don't know why you think that's so unreasonable. Gourmet pizzas are sloppy. You need some protection with the knife
and
fork.
It's not like it's hot, fine dining. You know, you're not like saying, hey, oh, this is Margaret River salami on a sourdough crust with a Neapolitana sauce. It's like, that's a pizza, pick it up in your hand and eat it.
Yeah, no, I'm with him, because when it comes to popcorn, you want to just, like, I will have on occasion, like, I'll dip the hand in there, but mostly you just put your tongue in,
get some popcorn on it, like it's a vacuum cleaner.
You're not sucking it, you're like licking it onto your tongue so that you're getting salt and butter on your tongue as opposed to your fingers.
It is a little bit weird. Surely it's a little bit weird.
Tidy man's way of eating food. 1-300-40-2020, what is the unique way you eat food? Our friend in Melbourne, Gabby, friend of the show, she has a curious way that she eats food, apparently. Morning, Gabby.
Hi, Laura. Well, I was at a pyjama party with a few friends of mine, and one of my friends noticed that I eat my popcorn with a fork.
That is a very weird way to eat your popcorn.
Why
now, what
with
is the
a
logic?
Spoon? Yeah.
I don't really know. It's never occurred to me to eat it with a spoon. I've always just sort of reached for the fork.
Now, how many kernels can you get on a forkful?
Probably maximum two or three.
Oh, that's like a really slow-going way to eat through a whole box.
Yeah, I make the most of it, really.
Hey, well, Gabby, no judgment from us, but I'm just going to say that's a little bit weird.
Yes, I will take that. That's understandable.
That is a very sophisticated way of eating some popcorn right there. What unusual ways do you eat food?
Hello, Hugh. This was your best man.
Yes. See, on our buck night, we put out a packet of twisties, and he decided the knife didn't use his fingers. He used a pair of chopsticks to eat his twisties with.
What?
That's genius.
Genius? You think it's genius? Yeah,
well, because twisties, you get those really yellow fingers, and obviously with chopsticks, you could get one or two in a chopstick full, if that's what the term is.
Was this a one-off thing, Hugh, or is this his normal style?
regular thing that he does.
Does he also apply that to, like, you know, Doritos or Burger Rings? Does he use the chopsticks for all of those?
No, just the Twisties.
Okay. I think he's trying to make his snacks a little classy.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm noticing here. People are, like, making their snack foods gourmet by churching it up with a little bit of chopsticks or forks.
Gail, hello. So your sister and your daughter, they both eat unusually. What do they do?
Oh, my sister with a hamburger, she literally takes the top off the hamburger and then eats every single layer individually with her fingers.
So if she gets, like, a burger with a lot, that must be, like, a three-hour meal right there.
It is. She takes absolutely forever.
You think that the experience of a burger, though, was to mush all the flavours together, like, not separate them?
I know. She's got it all backwards, I reckon.
Wow. What is your daughter doing?
Oh, my daughter. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely everything she eats with her fingers.
Oh.
Yogurt?
Yogurt, yes. And you give her an ice cream cone and she will scoop the ice cream out of the ice cream cone with her fingers.
So, Gail, my son, when he gets an ice cream cone, he says, Daddy, can you eat the ice cream out of it because the cone is the best part of the ice cream?
I am admitting that when I go to do the groceries, I'm like a one-trip wonder. I don't go back and forth to the car. I go like 6 bags each arm up the stairs.
So you're saying you can handle 12 bags?
Yeah, I mean, not all of them have milk and soda water in them. Most of them are just your like light items.
Okay. Now, do you go the biodegradable, fancy?
I try to because, of course, look after the environment, but so often we just forget.
It's totally
like
we've
bought the bags, but they're upstairs in the house somewhere and we never end up bringing them.
I have been eyeing off, and I think grandmas hold down the market on these, but I love those little wheelie things that, you know, that they pull along behind themselves.
I love to see you have one of those in the grocery store. That is classy and what all, like, good-looking gentlemen do.
Well, and I think if I got tired, I could sit down on it. I think it's really fantastic.
I like this idea. Can I give you another option instead?
Okay, give me another one.
So Vespa have created a robot to carry all of your stuff.
Yes,
don't be thinking, what's the dude in Star Wars, R2-D2, or the little skinny gold one?
If they made an R2-D2 that carried you shopping, I would be
gold
amazed.
One. Is he R2-D2, the skinny gold one?
No, that's C-3PO.
Yeah, him. Okay, so it doesn't look like that. We're not looking at like a human-looking robot. This is a kind of giant ball, more like a fit ball, with tires on it, and you can open up a hatch and put your stuff inside, and then it just rolls on behind you. And the thing is, you can actually program it to go where you want it to go. So this doesn't even have to have a human with it. You could just get your groceries popped into it and self-guide it onto the
It will drive itself home without any kind of...
Internal GPS. I so want one of these.
I am sold. Sign me up
then
right now.
Don't have to get the like craters that form in my forearms when I'm carrying groceries.
But you wouldn't have those buff biceps anymore, right?
Oh, that's true. I need to like weigh this up.
We have Susan Gorman. She is our cookie judge.
Yes.
And it is Duncan versus Sydney for the best cookie. Uh-huh. Okay, so you're going to start with what, the one on the far side, the dark chocolate one?
I think I will, actually. Okay. So what I'm doing is I'm just picking up the biscuit. I'm checking out the cooking techniques. Just going to have a taste. Feels nice and cakey.
The taste isn't like a little bit less than a teaspoon. I'd go for like a full slab of cookie.
No, it's breakfast time. We don't want to encourage too many cookies at breakfast time. I'll jump over to the other side. So this is a flatted biscuit. So this one might have had a little bit too much butter in it because too much butter can actually make your biscuit spread out.
Looks
beautiful though, but let's see. On to the third cookie now.
How's that
Lots
one?
Of chocolate chips.
This was the one that you said was a little bit conformed, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. How's that one tasting?
That one, the chocolate's nice in it. Good quality chocolate's really important as well.
Okay. All right.
I can see that there's pondering happening.
Yeah, so in your brain, you're actually thinking through the different types of things. So already I'm thinking now, what did I like about each biscuit? What actually makes a really good biscuit? Because at the Royal Easter Show or any show judging, we actually have a standard that we have to bring the biscuit up to. Mm. And then for everything that's wrong with it, then we bring it down. So then I'm just going through my mind just to think.
Okay, so where is it? Where is it?
Which one's getting the win? Oh,
I'm so nervous right now.
The winner today is...
I'm so nervous.
Drum roll.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for these biscuits.
Which one's that one?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness. That is Duncan's.
She has just selected my cookie. Laura, for the rest of the show, you will refer to me as the Cookie King.
You know what?
The Cookie King is here.
I thought that this morning that the smack talking would end, but I guess it's over. Duncan, congratulations.
All hail the Cookie King champion.
You are... The winner. Thank you, sorry, Sydney.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You know what that means, Duncan, though. Every time we have morning tea, you're going to have to make biscuits.
That's true.
Susan Gorman, thank you so much
for
joining
us.
You're
welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Friday, 1-300-40-2020 or on the text line 0-448-40-2020. Celebrating your wins for the week. No surprises what yours is.
Yes, because I am officially the Cookie King.
Woo!
We had an external judge confirm it.
Even from the Easter show.
I was feeling a lot of pressure, but I'm feeling pretty good right now.
And I feel pretty good because there's leftovers.
There's a lot.
1-300-40-2020. What are you celebrating for Feel Good Friday? Mine? I finished my puzzle, my 1,000-piece puzzle. Woohoo! That was early in the week. But then also second thing, hearing Guy Sebastian and Montel Jordan at a Christian Spheres event was very cool.
That was a pretty fun
highlight. What is yours? 1-300-40-2020 or jump on the text line 0-448-40-2020. Your win for the week for Feel Good Friday. Good morning, Isaac. What are you celebrating?
I went to McDonald's for dinner with my futsal team.
Whoa! Yeah. Did you win your futsal match?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Nice.
Good on you, Isaac.
You can also jump on the text line 0-448-40-2020. Peter jumped on and he said, my wife and I booked a holiday to Europe this week.
Woo! It's going to be a bucket list trip. That's going to be cool. Greek islands, Ireland, Iceland.
Ooh,
1-300-40-2020. What is your win for the week? Good morning, Phoebe. What are you and your boys celebrating?
We're celebrating them making it to district swimming carnivals. They're all in them. Backstroke and relays. So this is their first district.
Do you do well on the sidelines cheering for them?
I'm going to be doing that today in the rain.
Oh, brilliant.
Good on you, Phoebe. Congratulations. That's really cool.
1-300-40-2020. It is Feel Good Friday.
You're winning for the week. Hello, Matt. What are you celebrating?
So I took on this new job. And yesterday, they bought an unbelievable Malteser cake for me to celebrate my birthday, which was really nice.
Can we celebrate your birthday as well? We actually have a pass to our Hope Garage sessions to see the afters and stars go dim. Would you like a belated birthday present?
Oh, you are awesome.
You're welcome.
The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Just call me the Cookie King.
I'm not calling you anything.
Yes, bow before my cookie greatness.
A problem has been caused that I am trying to ignore.
Oh, there is no dough deception.
And you know what you didn't know? I actually went round the office after everyone tried one of yours and let them taste my one from Sydney and undercut the judge decision with the real best cookie.
Believable.
I'm sorry. Let's do this together. Ready?
Subscribe at iTunes.
Was it at or on? I gave us a heads up.
Are you standing on iTunes or are you going to iTunes?
iTunes.
It's just a preposition.
iTunes, find it. Find Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan.
Give us a 5-star rating if you think it is.
It's 5.
It's definitely 5.
Find the podcast and hit
just
it.
Just press that button.
Bum, 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 bum. Hammer time.
Stop. Hammer time.
Subscribe. Is there something in that? Can we finish now?
Is it done?
Okay.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan. 6 till 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.